can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, speaking of masters of change, this is Filippo Voltaggio, and our guests today, both of them, are world-renowned for change and transformation through art, both their own and that of the millions of people who are fans and who feel so connected to the art that they make, both individually and together. Our first guest is Alex Gray. He is best known for his paintings, which portray multiple dimensions of reality, interweaving biological anatomy with psychic and spiritual energies. Gray's visual meditation on the nature of life and consciousness, the subject of his art, is contained in 5 books. Gray's well-renowned career includes exhibitions and keynote addresses, to name a few, from Basel to Tokyo to Sao Paulo, and has included features on the Discovery Channel, the CBC, in Newsweek and Time magazines, etc., etc. Gray's art has been used on albums for the multi-platinum bands Nirvana, Beastie Boys, Tool, and String Cheese Incident. Gray's most outstanding and widely appreciated works of transformative art were exhibited for 5 years in the Chapel of Sacred Mirrors in New York City. Now, Alison Gray is also with us. Happily, she is an artist in her own right, and she has been a partner to Alex since 1975. They met in Boston at the Boston Museum School, where she received a bachelor's and a master's degree in fine arts. She has continued to do artwork of her own. She's had a one-man show at Stux Gallery and O.K. Harris Gallery in New York, amongst others. Her commissions of permanent public works include a 24-foot mural at the First Bank of Lowell in Massachusetts, and her paintings have been collected by many corporations and individuals. She paints and collaborates with her husband, Alex, and their film actress daughter, Zena Gray. So looking forward to a transformative conversation with both Alex Gray and Alison Gray. Mark Legere is also with us today. I'm glad you all are with us. We'll be right back after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and something very interesting is happening with our show, or with me in relation to our show, or has always been happening with Life Changes with Filippo and so many of us. However, maybe I haven't noted it as such. It seems that the week before a particular guest comes on, certain things happen that lead to a conversation that totally brings me to the moment of now, as if this guest were part of my life somehow during the week. And something that happened to me this week was I went and visited my mother, and in my doing that, who I don't get to see very often, and in my doing that, somehow she opened up a box, and a Pandora's box, to be sure. In it were photographs and artwork and all of this stuff that had been taken of the family, including myself, from many, many years ago, and family that I had never met from years before I was even born. And in there was also some of my art, of what I had drawn when I was a child that my mother had saved. Very few of it, because evidently I was very prolific as an artist as a young child. And as I was going through all of it, I was looking for the psychedelic art that I had forgotten all about, and I couldn't find any. And I realized that art was not of interest to my parents, and that wasn't considered something that they would have wanted to keep. They obviously didn't understand it. I probably didn't understand it either, but it came natural to me, and it was one of the things that I enjoyed doing the most. Another thing I noticed is the art that they did keep was meaningful to them, and as is appropriate. And as I saw the progression of the years in the artwork that I actually took with me, and I have with me right now, I looked at what was important to me as I was drawing these things as I grew up, as the years passed. And so I wondered to myself, this psychedelic art that used to be so important to me, I had since stopped drawing. And I thought, why? And also, what would my art look like if I were still drawing today? It's been many years since I've done any kind of artwork. And then I thought, well, maybe there is a way to find out what that would be like. It would be like what I would be attracted to today, because that which I look at, that which I'm fascinated by, that which I'm interested in is probably where I am today. So interestingly enough, Alex Gray and Allison Gray are our guests today because their art as of late has been art that I have been so fascinated by. So with that, I introduce both Alex Gray and Allison Gray, internationally well-known, renowned, and beloved artists to Life Changes with Filippo. Welcome to you both.
Thanks
so much, Filippo. That was kind of dramatic introduction too, and shows the preciousness of what art is for most of us, really, as human beings.
And thank you. And so, as a child, now your doodles, or before you knew you were an artist, unless you knew as a very young child, Alex, what. If you looked back on those, if some of those were saved, what would you see?
Well, I actually start out a couple of my books with some of my earliest work, which my mother, like yours, saved, and some of, and actually quite a bit. And one of the earliest pieces was actually a skeleton that I had done, she said, around the age of five. And so it has very weird characteristics, including the anatomy. Seems like about a child of five, a big head. It's got a raven on its shoulder, so there's a power animal kind of thing. So it has a magic kind of quality that is completely typical of the consciousness of a five-year-old. And so I found that fascinating. And, of course, tonight I'm painting a skeleton, you know?
I love it. And you're so, okay. So, and there it is. So that skeleton and
Filippo,
this skeleton,
Filippo,
there
Dallas
is a huge Filippo. Difference, I'm sure, not just in yes. in the artistry, but the person is different, your focus is different. What would be the biggest difference in the transformation of that skeleton in this one tonight?
All of the intervening stages of awareness that go from the magic through the mythic, through the rational, and finally into the transpersonal or transrational ranges of consciousness until you're identified not just with your localized, even skeletal body, but you're identified. This body that I'm painting is with kind of a spiral galaxy in the heart. So he's more of a cosmic body. But because I'm still using this translucent aspect, kind of a weird juxtaposition of these elements, then it's drawing somehow the cosmos and the physical body together, and so that we get a symbol of the cosmic body that we are all expressions of.
And I'm thinking for those who appreciate art in general and see it potentially as a frozen moment in time, both skeletons are perfect for where they may be in that moment. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And we all burn through our those layers at whatever trajectory and velocity we're at. Now, Allison has amazing work from her childhood as well, which is fascinating. One of the earliest things she learned how to... Oh, Allison, why don't you talk about your childhood?
I'm not sure I'm on. Am I on?
Yes, you are, Allison.
Oh, hi. You know, I was so touched by something that you said about looking at your work from your childhood, Filippo, and how you felt like, you know, wondering what your work would look like today if you had continued to draw. And I just was, yesterday at COSM, where we live and do our thing and make art, we had a group for art church, and that's what we do in our church. Even people who haven't made art for a really long time get out some art supplies, and we listen to music and be quiet and just see if anything comes out. And always such interesting things come out of people who felt that they were artists at one time, because we all were artists at one time. When we were, I noticed that before the age of four, really, but by four, a lot of children have decided whether they're artists or not, you know, and then they think, oh, I can't draw. And that's when you start to hear that after, like in kindergarten. But anyway, a lot of people like that have this identity that they are artists, but they're not. You know, they're not following through. They're not doing it. And when they come into our church and they have permission to just do that again, it's, you know, I think people are very elevated by it, and it's been a beautiful process. So yes, I have always been an artist, just like Alex. I was noticed as an artist when I was a child too, and many of us notice that our children are wonderful artists, but of course we specialize as we get older, and, you know, not all of us remain artists. But, you know, it doesn't mean you couldn't pick up a pencil or some colors once in a while. It's kind of like I think of it as like yoga, you know. It's that creative flow that we all need. You can just pick it up and, I don't know, and enjoy it. Not have to be Picasso, you know, just enjoy it.
I like that, and I believe that could be said about all art forms, and should be said about art forms. So thank you for saying that about art as a visual medium. Absolutely. You know, when we come back, Allison, I was going to ask you, I had heard a couple interviews actually with Alex in which he describes this moment where he meets you. It's actually a kind of funny story that gets then really deep, really fast. And I just wondered, when we come back, if from your perspective or from Alex's, if that was a turning point in where this goes, where you know, the transformation of the two of you as artists that become world-renowned, and if that was the turning point, the actual meeting, and how you all would describe that, or where it is, if not. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'd like to discuss that, because I think some of that might actually be reflected in the art as I see it. We'll be right back with Alex Gray and Allison Gray, both together here on the show. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, actually, this is Life Changes Network. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and we have Alex Gray and Allison Gray together. And I am looking at that moment where life changed in a big way. And Allison, I was thinking that you could answer that for us, for the two of you.
Alex does tell the story. You know, I think it's a very... Alex, you want to say something about your how it happened from your point of view, and then I'll say what it looked like from mine, or...
I Alex, think many people you know. Have heard my version, so
well, Alex,
I think
Alex,
it's a great opportunity
LSD.
To...
Yeah.
you
Alex
go
took LSD in my apartment. Oh, I'm sorry. Alex took LSD in my apartment for the first time. I invited him to my party at the end of the school year, and he came with a bottle of Kahlua and LSD. And he had already taken half of it, and he gave me the rest, and I took the other half. So for Alex, it was his first LSD trip. For me, it was a party that I was giving at the end of school. And I was taking LSD for the many, manyth time. I had taken a lot of LSD in the last 6 years, actually. But anyway, I was very touched by the fact that he called me the next day because of the spiritual opening that LSD had been for him. And it had been a spiritual opening for me, well, maybe 3 years before. I had had an LSD experience that after I read Ram Dass's book, Be Here Now. Mm. And I had the intention of seeing the white light because of Ram Dass's book. And I was about, I guess, 20, and I did see the light, and I did see God, and I did experience oneness with the eternal, and that all things were made of light. So anyway, I had had that experience, but no one to share it with, really. I'd started on a path of spirituality and meditation because of that experience. Completely changed my life, completely. Mm. Flipped my life from being a godless politico to being a, you know, like, you know, I mean, I saw it. I experienced it. You couldn't take it away from me. It was natural knowing. And Alex had that experience in my apartment. So I was very amazingly touched by that. And he also, the way he articulated it, I think, and just the way he is, it was just perfect for me, because I don't think I would have ever found anyone that would have lived up to my high standards, you know? So he surprised me totally. I thought I'd always be alone, you know, at the age of 23. But he came into my life, and it changed everything, Filippo. You asked about how it changed the life. Jeez, 38 years with one man, monogamous. Hey, I recommend it. I think it's been the best life ever. I have had the best time ever, and I have the best sex life ever too. So, hey, I mean, I really do recommend it. I'm 62.
Allison, so. That's fantastic. Alex,
thank
you are
you.
Right. I
thank
had
you.
Heard your version a couple times, and I enjoyed it. And I just wondered what the other side sounded like, because that I had not heard. Now, having had her share that, what would you like to say?
Well, I guess the long and short of it is that I found God that night, which prevented me from killing myself.
Mm.
And
yeah.
I had met within, and I met God in the flesh in the form of Allison.
Mm.
So that was a life change that happened in the same place, like a lightning strike, sort of that changes both your inner world and your worldview completely, and shows a likeness to that inner realization mirrored directly in the outer, which is Allison. She's the expression of the divine in my life. She is God's gift to me. And I am literally God's gift to her, because I was conceived on Allison's first birthday.
Oh, wow.
My mother has diaries that show that, March 3rd, 1953, was the day. And, that's her birthday, March 3rd.
Wow.
So there are so many weird interrelations. My her initials are Allison and Joe. So that's AJ, which is her mom's initials, and my mother's is JA. So there, and her middle name is Allison. So there's too many weird entanglements that point to the perfection for us to dismiss them. And it was like we were given a contract, you know, like a Mission Impossible. Hey, if you crazy people can create some works of art that are of service to the divine, and then figure out how to build a chapel to it, I won't impede your progress. I'll give you a little wind. So we've built
maybe I'll even show you the path through this medicine, so to speak.
That it happens with some frequency that I find. In fact, I was talking to people last night. A painting that I just finished, you know, just sort of steaming off the easel. Somebody said, you know, I was speaking to this being the other night.
Wow.
It was the first time I took DMT, and it was talking to me. And so whether there's an exact transcription or simply a symbolic likeness that reminds them of that experience. A lot of people are reporting contact with the realm of the visionary, mystical experience, which includes meeting beings, and perhaps they used to be called angels or, interdimensionals, extra-dimensionals. There's all kinds of ways of thinking of these inner beings of the more imaginal realms. But they seem to have a degree of reality and agency. They will speak to you, and it's not like you put words in their mouth. They put them in your heart, you know.
Mm.
So we're enmeshed, I think, with a realm, a celestial decentralized network of nodes of God stuff.
Hmm. Allison, you obviously feel the same way. As you're creating, do you feel like you're enmeshed as you're creating, or just it's just a constant, always you're together?
Well, I'm not sure whether you mean together when you mean that Alex and I have been sharing a studio for 38 years. We literally work within eyeshot of each other all the time. I mean, you know, I run an errand from time to time and even go visit our daughter occasionally. But, you know, we work in the same space. We have a large studio where we both paint. And, you know, we have a routine. And so we've been sort of art partners for 38 years, even though, like you said in the opening, we each have our own painting series. We have our own bodies of work, our individual bodies of work. And then we have the body of work that we share. But, you know, really, my work is completely influenced by Alex because he's always looking at it. He comes to see it every day. You know, he comes over and visits me a few times and we talk about it. And I do the same to him. He just finished a painting this weekend, which is big time for either one of us because our work is both very labor intensive. So our paintings generally take, you know, anywhere from a few weeks on some of them to a couple of years for several pieces that we both have done, pieces that have taken more than a year. So anyway, we look at each other's work all the time, comment all the time, and influence each other all the time. But we do keep our styles are separate in our separate bodies of work. Then we have the social sculpture collaborative body of work that we call COSM, which stands for Chapel of Sacred Mirrors. And that is our social sculpture with our community. And this has just been an ongoing developmental community art project, like a big, you know, kind of, you know, Burning Man, except we leave a trace. You know what I mean? Leave a trace. We want to build a temple. So we're actually going to be building two temples on this sacred ground. And we're about ready to break ground almost on the first one, Entheon, which is, you know, what we did our Kickstarter campaign on and all that. So, but anyway, that's our social sculpture. That's our body of work that we completely collaborate on. It's COSM.
Although Alex
designed it beautifully. Alex designed the exterior. Exquisite. Sculpted building.
I would expect so. And I wanted to share with our audience that as they will want to know more, those who do not already, there are so many websites that they could learn about and see different work and buy work and et cetera, go to lectures. The main one, correct me if I'm wrong, is COSM.org. Is that correct?
Yes, that stands for Chapel of Sacred Mirrors. COSM, COSM.org is where you go to find out about all stuff that we're doing and, you know, in our community of visionary artists.
So when we come back, actually, I don't want to spend too much time on this. I know that you're asked this a lot, and I just want to talk about it from a completely different perspective. I do want to talk about some of the trips or the journeys or how you call them, LSD, et cetera, DMT. I do want to talk about it just for a couple minutes because so many people seem to connect the work with that, or obviously the work is connected to that. And there's so much beyond that. And so I'd like to touch on it a little bit from maybe a different perspective when we come back with Alex Gray and Allison Gray on this transformational conversation that we're having together here, happily to do so on Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
And I am Filippo, and we are back and talking to Alex Gray and Allison Gray, both internationally renowned and beloved artists and co-founders of Chapel of Sacred Mirrors. As a matter of fact, we were talking about their website, COSM, C-O-S-M, Chapel of Sacred Mirrors, COSM.org. And actually, so much of their work, so many people talk about it in relation to being obviously transformational, transcendental, like being on a trip or looking at it while on a trip. And both Alex and Allison, I just wanted to ask you this from this perspective. I had a vocal coach who was 85 at the time, about 10 years ago, and he told me how he was an ornery, angry man, and he was a captain of a aircraft carrier, actually, so very needed to be in control and all of that. And he said that when he came back from the war, and I don't even remember now which war it was, but that in the Army or Navy or whatever, they gave him several series of programs that included LSD. And he said through that, he saw so many wonderful things and he became a different person just from the experience. And he said to me, I wish you could do that like I got to do it. Can we talk about that?
The discovery of LSD in 1943, or its psychedelic effects, I think was a opening of the kind of understanding of what sacramental civilization used to be in touch with, both East and West. The foundations of Eastern and Western civilization are built on sacrament. The Greeks used to have the Kaikion in the middle of the Eleusinian Mysteries, and this is the way that Plato and Socrates got in touch with the ideal archetypes that they speak of in their philosophy. They saw it within, in these psychedelic states. Now, likewise, you go to the Hindu tradition, and you have ganja at the Ganges, and they talk about also soma. That's what the songs are to the divine in the Rig Veda, the earliest known religious text. So they were talking about this plant that allows us to be in contact with the divine. Now, if you look at Central and South America, and you see all the psychedelic plants that were part of both the shamanic and the Aztec and Mayan cultures and the great cultures throughout the regions down there, they were sacramental civilizations. And so this is now the psychedelic cultures all over the planet, actually, are the seeds of a planetary civilization. And they are all creative. They're using creative expression as a way to, you know, touch nation and person, music and art. And so this is a, I think, a reclamation of a sacramental order that's been at the foundations of human civilization that we've lost contact with by our paternalistic and non-anti-sacramental society.
That is beautifully, beautifully put. And some of what I got also through that is, as I'm listening to you, I am in this enviable position from so many people who wish they could have an opportunity to speak with you. And I know that both of you make yourselves available at gallery exhibitions and workshops and whatnot. But there are people all over the world who wouldn't be able to get to them, etc. And I have a feeling that you allow them to feel something, like you're talking about the LSD or the psychedelics allowing us to see something, feel something, that because you all are genuine and open and real, as if you are touching something that they want to touch.
Well, it was an experience that we had that we've put into our artwork, and that was the really, we were told to do all of it through visions. Allison inspired the sacred mirrors. She named the sacred mirrors. We heard the same kind of visions and voices telling us to build the chapel. And so all we can do is do it as best we can. And we're not saying we'll be able to, but we're. This has been a great gift to us, a blessing, all these visions. And so many people around the world have connected with it because it reminds them of their own visionary experience.
Yes. And Allison, when you have these workshops and you're helping people find the artist within them, do they touch anywhere near this, or are they trying to draw within the lines, so to speak?
I wanted to speak to that idea of people who wanted to talk to Alex and I. You know,
yes.
People that want to reach out to us or be with us because of whatever it is that we might be able to share with them that might uplift them or for whatever reason. We are so easy to be around. That I have to just tell you that we are so available that we do have workshops and we do work with artists so much. It's so absolutely wonderful. You know, we were with a smaller group yesterday at our church, and then we have larger groups where we have ecstatic dance and fire spinning like we have next Saturday night at the Vernal Equinox. And, you know, we expect a lot of people. I'll just put it to you that way. But we've got it handled. We've been doing this now we have an unbroken chain of full moon ceremonies for going on 11 years. So we've been doing vernal equinoxes and solstices and all the full moons for some time. And we have... it's a very celebratory, ecstatic dance kind of experience, and we're very available. Alex and I are at all the Cosm events, and then we travel all the time. You were going to talk about some of the travel, and you were saying that you wanted to talk about the psychedelic travel and how that brings us to the places where, well, Alex particularly portrays that psychedelic state and is known for portraying the psychedelic state. But we also travel all over the world, and we are available to people everywhere. You know, whenever we get called, we go. We go to Mexico and Australia and across the country. And our next trip is to San Francisco, where we're going to be celebrating Bicycle Day for two nights, actually, 4/19 and 4/20 in San Francisco. 4/20 is big time in San Francisco anyway. But we have a regular Bicycle Day event there. Bicycle Day is the anniversary of the first LSD trip. Alex, do you want to talk about that?
Well, it's April 19th, 1943, in the middle of World War II, right shortly after Fermi discovers the chain reaction that'll lead to the atomic bomb. Albert Hofmann in his lab in Basel, Switzerland, hears a voice calling him, telling him to create this molecule that he had discovered back 5 years ago and dismissed. This voice told him to make it again. And so he did, and he absorbed it somehow. He took it. Actually, he took a dose of it, the tiniest dose, millionths of a gram, but he had discovered the most potent psychoactive substance in all that's ever been discovered. And he thought he was dying, and so he took a bicycle ride home because it was wartime and nobody had cars. He took a bicycle ride to die at home instead of at the lab at Sandoz Pharmaceuticals. And... so that was a wild bicycle ride, and so the people who celebrate that day still call it Bicycle Day, and it was quite a remarkable day, I think it opened up a new era for humanity.
It is fascinating.
It's still illegal, of course, and... scientific investigations have been opening back up. There's a new Swiss study that's been very positive. And so other psychedelics have been serving returning veterans with PTSD treated with psilocybin and MDMA. And the psilocybin has been helping to ease the anxiety around death in patients. So they've also established that the mystical experience, which is full unity with God, happens for about 65% of those who are spiritually inclined at the proper set and setting. Now, this is good science that's been established by Roland Griffiths, there, the Journal of Psychopharmacology. So it's science now. And there's barely a religion that can say that they'll deliver you to the Godhead 65% of the time, you know, over a four-hour period. So I think that it has a lot of potential help for humanity. It's nothing that we do or advocate, actually, here, because it's something that should only be taken under the proper conditions. And, you know, with so we try to warn people about it. We want to have a place where people can talk about it and where people can share the visions and people can share the music that comes out of it.
The music or the art. and people do share it. We only have about a minute left, and I'm just wondering, I had started a conversation, a question actually, about painting within the lines, which is something that we're taught as children. Now, there are plenty of lines in both of your works. However, somehow, looking at it, it just seems like it's so outside the lines, outside sometimes of this dimension. So I'm wondering if just in a minute or so, you all could either one of you share with us how we paint outside of the lines or live outside of the lines while still having lines in our life, if that makes sense.
Good point. I'm painting inside the lines right now as we speak, and I think it's a wonderful thing. I think you've got to do what you feel. You've got to listen to the inner call, listen for your own instincts. You know, my instincts told me to stay inside the lines and fill in a lot of stuff. And if anybody's ever seen my work, it's gone out there to the nth degree. So you can go crazy doing that, or you can forget about lines and have your art be about that. So I think you have to listen to your inner call. What do you think, Alex?
Well, we are drawing lines around the boundless. And so there's no way to define other than drawing the line. But we have to draw that line from our heart. And that is what we advocate. Let love draw the line.
Well, I like that very much. As a matter of fact, I have loved all of this. I thank you both for doing what you do and for listening to whatever it is that you're listening to that is guiding you to do such beautiful, amazing, transformative things, not just art, but all kinds of things from performance art to what you're creating. And I'm so grateful that you were guided to be with us here tonight on our show. Thank you so much. Blessings to you
both.
Thank you, Filippo.
It's a pleasure. We'll be right back with our producer's wrap with Mark Lejeune right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
Well, we're back, and this is our producer's wrap with producer Mark Lejeune. And Mark, there at the end, I started to stumble on my words, and I thought, "Wow, I think I'm starting to journey."
Well, it was an extremely exciting journey in terms of the conversation. I think that there's so many themes that cross over to what we believe at Life Changes and what we've talked about in the past. And I think what's centralized is the theme that finds itself emanating from all aspects of creation. You know, we're creative beings. We're creating beings from an artistic standpoint, from a musical standpoint, from dance. This is something that we somehow are guided away from after, you know, our time in the sandbox, so to speak, you know, as kids. And I think that's one of the things that's so exciting to hear their process, to see their work, and how they approach their creative process, but also touching, you know, everyone that that gets to experience their creativity.
You know, I was thinking, Mark, our tagline, real people, real life, real time. I don't know that anybody has embodied that as much as these two during this conversation. Real people. I mean, nope. And I mean, wow.
No kidding. Well, you know, like you say, the real time, the real stories, the way they came together, the awareness of their coming together, and then right. And then the honesty with which they address each other, their creative process. I know people that are live lifetimes or a lifetime together that can't seem to be in the same room for more than 5 minutes without having an argument. And here these two have shared a studio and creative joy for, I think he said 38 years or something in up there.
Yeah.
And it's extraordinary. And I think it really speaks to the unveiling of this greater awareness, the connectivity, kind of the settled state that one can arrive at if they start opening up to, you know, the possibilities of the magic around them. It seems like the frustration comes from us being mired in the day-to-day process and absorbed in television and guided by whatever, you know, the repetitive news clip of the day is.
Absolutely. You read my mind, or I was on your wavelength there, because I was thinking, now that's news. How often do we hear such and such a couple broke up after a year, or they're fighting it after 3 years, or it's imminent divorce, blah, blah, blah. And I just love how with such joy in her heart, Allison said, I recommend it to everyone. And I thought, that's news. Why can't we talk about that? Well, we did, and we'll be doing more of it. I liked it.
You know, there is doing to talk about doing more of it. You know, we by nature of their work and some of the questions you asked, you touched on some very deep topics, which aren't necessarily for this show, but I think it really asks some questions. You know, there's so much more going on, and you step back and you wonder why certain things are legal, why certain things are not legal. Right. You look back. You know, you look at the power of the pharmaceutical industry and the massive amounts of drugs that are taken under the legal auspice. And then you look at what is illegal and many of the natural plant-driven or derived drugs are legal. And I don't know enough about all of them to argue one way or another. But I do see, you know, this kind of juxtaposition of science and modern kind of consumer driven and Western science, and then you got ancient knowledge and a lot of the shamanistic traditions, which when you go back and you look at the explorations, you know, the first things that were done in settlements were eradicating not only the shamans but their knowledge. Mm-hmm. So all this to me just expands a much larger question, especially when you talk to somebody as aware as Allison and Alex and how they approach their art and what it has done for them and what they've shown the world.
You know, I loved how they approached this interview, actually. I had to laugh at myself a couple times, especially there at the end when I said, in 1 minute, you know, answer this huge question that is basically potentially what brings meaning to our life. You know, how any of this conversation, you know, we could have had a show on just any one question, a whole show, if not a show and a half.
Okay.
Or two.
In fact, why don't you answer that question in the next minute?
You know, that's hard. I would say exactly what both Alex and Allison said, now that I heard them say that, of course.
What if you were a singer, though? How would you answer that question?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, as somebody asked me not that exact question, but something similar recently, and I said that there is something I say on stage very, very often in front of the audience or to the audience. I say to them, especially after a loud, rousing applause, I say to them, I wish you could feel like you are making me feel right now. And what happens invariably is that they start to applaud again, even louder. In other words, they do. And I understand that because many times I'm in the audience and somebody makes me feel like that. Like I am part of something that's greater than me. And this is the conversation that your question, very good question, and what Allison and Alex shared with us and the way they shared with us, and especially like saying how available they are and accessible they are and how interested they are in meeting with people and sharing with people, I totally get that. And I felt that they're wanting to be in one with all of us. And they are, as much as they can possibly be in this moment. That's what I felt.
Well, not only they are, but I have to believe, you know, that those experiences, and I've read a lot from a lot of the, you know, Terrence McKenna and a lot of the people that have pioneered the space, Strauss that wrote The Spirit Molecule, and there's a lot of interesting perspectives in this world of both psychedelics and ayahuasca and a lot of the shaman, the mushrooms, and there's, you know, such a history there. But when you look at the perspective, the one thing that's common, whether or not you believe or disbelieve in its usage or your stand, it agrees with, you know, your dogma. They have a more holistic view. They do appear to have experienced a perspective of unity at one time or another, and they just seem to look at things differently. And they just seem to come from a place of love. And that, to me, is a huge juxtaposition or a huge bifurcation between those that have and those that haven't. And if that alone isn't a reason to broaden the exploration, I'm not sure what is.
I like that, Mark, and it reminds me of something that I've said quite often. As people are getting older, I often ask them, what is it that you see that's better now, or that you see better now, or that you're experiencing better now? Because so often people focus on, oh, I can't walk as well, or oh, I can't see as well. But though Alex and Allison are too young to be elders, I'm looking forward to them being elders and being able to share from that place, because I still believe and maintain that as we get older, that something else increases, not just our years and not just our pain in our bodies. So this is the perspective that I was also getting as they were sharing. I thought, what have we done with our elders and the people with this kind of knowledge? And thank you, Mark, and thank you, Dorothy, as producers, for helping usher in this kind of conversation, and hopefully more and more, I trust and I know, more mainstream. So with that, it has truly been a pleasure, and I look forward to another time soon with all of us together again with Alex Gray and Allison Gray. Thank you, Mark Lejeune. Again, thank you, Dorothy Donahue. And thank all of you for being part of this, for making this as exciting for us as well, and being a part of our oneness here on Life Changes with Filippo. I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.